Papa nilang manggagawa ay hawak-hawak pa rin ang Abu Sayyaf group, and supposedly the Red Cross personnel under the Geneva Convention, which governs warfare, should be neutral. Kaya nga maski sa ibang mga bansa, nakadukot na rin maski ang Taliban ng mga Red Cross workers, nang malaman nilang Red Cross, agad nilang pinawalan. Dito lang sa Pilipinas, ng Red Cross workers, hawak-hawak pa rin ng 2 buwan nang mahigit ng mga Abu Sayyaf. Talagang naiiba tayo. Pero ang isang gusto kong ipaalala sa atin, the Red Cross was founded by an Austrian national, John Henry Dunong, in 1863 after he witnessed the tragedy of battle between France and Austria. He saw the dead scattered on the streets in their hundreds and even thousands. And because of this, he determined that there should be an organization which all parties of warfare should recognize as neutral, and its sole purpose is to help those who are wounded and to have the dead buried. Now, for these efforts and the achievements of the Red Cross, Henry Dunong, in fact, will be awarded the very first Nobel Peace Prize in 1901. Now, what many do not know is that Dunong was raised by a devoutly Calvinist family, and he professed the Christian faith. And his life and commitment demonstrate powerfully the vital connection or linkage between religious faith on the one hand and social compassion and justice on the other. Yung pagkakatatag ng Red Cross, ipinapamalas yung pagkakarugtong ng pananampalataya sa isang banda at yun namang kahabagang pangtao sa kabilang panig. Magkasama silang palagi, pinag-uugnay silang palagi. And many times, it is a rebuke to those who think that they can have religion and yet without social compassion or social justice. And yet, many times the separation of religion and social justice is justified. There have been many periods in Christian history that has been lacking of social justice and compassion, and yet people were very religious. But not only in Christian history, go backwards before even Christian history and you will find many instances of this separation. In fact, we are studying in series one of the most powerful prophets who denounced the separation of religion and justice. And that's Amos. We are now coming to the last month of our study where we look at the last portions of the book of Amos. We have seen so far the oracles of judgment, and the oracles of judgment of Amos seem to be coming to what musicians call a crescendo. Yung pataas ng pataas, palakas ng palakas. At ganyan ang nangyayari dito sa mga oracles ni Amos, yung mga pahayag niya tungkol sa hatol na igagawad ng Diyos sa mga ibang bansa. At pagkatapos yung pinakamatalas niyang pahayag ay inilaan niya laban sa Israel. Sapagkat ang Israel ang binigyang pabor ng Diyos, ngunit sila ang naging suwail sa Diyos at sila'y tumalikod sa Diyos sa kanilang tipanan, at ngayon ang pinakamatinding parusa ay igagawad sa kanila ng Diyos. And as we come to these last portions of Amos, we find this growing loudness of the prophecies of judgment. And yet, when we come to the very last part, it is like from the oracles of judgment, Amos finishes with a glorious note of hope. But once more, as we have seen in this series, Amos addresses the religious but unjust. Ang titingnan natin ngayon ay muling pagpapahayag ni Amos sa mga taong may relihiyon, subalit walang katarungan. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 8. Let's read verses 1 to 8. Book of Amos chapter 8. Let's read the first 8 verses. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore, and the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere, they shall throw them out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy, and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade our wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. We have encountered time and again the formula of Amos, thus the Lord showed me. Ang tumutukoy yan sa mga pangitain na ibinibigay ng Diyos kay Amos bilang mga sagisag ng kanyang mga mensaheng propesiya. At sa pagkakataong ito, yung pangitain ay tinawag ritong a basket of summer fruit. Now, it is in Hebrew that becomes significant because in Hebrew, the word for summer fruit rhymes with the word for end. Eh, mahirap lang isalin na meron ding rhyming sa English, pero isang significance noon ay Amos was after the Hebrew rhyming of summer fruit and the end. Yung inakala niyong ani, eh, yung pala ay pangkatapusan. Hindi lamang yun, another significance is that summer represented the last stage of the harvest in the agricultural season of Israel. Panghuli na yun na harvest, ang ibig sabihin nun ay wala na pagkatapos nito. And the Lord is now going to threaten, I will not again pass by them. Ang ibig sabihin po niyan, hindi ko na sila lalampasan. Hindi ko na sila bibigyan ng panibagong pagkakataon. Matapos nilang malasap yung summer fruit, yung pinakahuling anihan, pagkatapos na hindi ko na sila palalampasin. Yan ang sinasabi ng Diyos kay Amos sa pamamagitan ng pangitain nito. Ito na yung huling banta. Ito na yung huling babala. This is the ultimatum. And once you get your summer fruit, then God will no longer pass you by. Judgment will come. But you see, what is so striking here is that even as judgment was threatened, even on the very day the judgment of God came, the people were singing in the temple. Doon sa araw mismong dumating na yung paghahatol, nasaan yung mga tao? Nasa templo at nag-aawitan. Abagamat sinabi ng Panginoon, yung kanilang awitan ay magiging awitan ng dalamhati pagdating ng araw ng paghahatol. Pero ang mahiwaga o nakakagulat dito ay dumarating na ang hatol ng Diyos. Maaaring isipin mo na ang hatol ng Diyos kagaya niyan darating sa katulad ng Sodom and Gomorrah, yung mga taong immoral. The judgment of God will surely come on people who are irreligious and decadent and immoral. Well, not in this case. Here in this case, the judgment of God came to people who at the very day, on the very day of judgment, were still singing in the temple. Nag-aawitan pa rin. Religyoso pa rin. At yan po ang gusto kong makita natin dito. Amos is delivering an ultimatum of judgment on a people who on the very day of judgment were still religious. They were still doing their religious activities. They were still flawless with their temple service. In other words, they have a religion, but it was to them a play. And the evidence that it was just playing religion is that they did not exercise justice. There was maltreatment of the weak. At yan ang babala ni Amos sa kanila, gawin nating babala sa atin. Let me put the message in this simple way. Playing religion will not spare judgment on social injustice. Yung paglalaro ng relihiyon ay hindi lalampas sa hatol ng Diyos kung walang katarungan sa lipunan. Playing religion will not spare judgment on social injustice. This was true in the 8th century BC of Amos' generation, and I tell you, this is true in the 21st century. In Amos' generation, people played religion to cover up injustice, and people still do that in the 21st century. And therefore, the warning is as relevant today. And we may use different religious elements. We may not use the same religious elements that Amos' generation used, but it's the same principle that we may do things religiously without justice, and that will not spare us. And there are two things that I want to draw from this. First, good rituals will not cover up social iniquity. Yung mga mabuting ritual ay hindi makakapagtakip sa panlipunang kasamaan. Good rituals will not cover up social iniquity. And secondly, true doctrines will not cover up social dishonesty. Yung mga totoong katuruan ay hindi magtatakip sa panlipunang kasinungalingan. So first of all then, good rituals will not cover up social iniquity. There is here a reference to the observance of the people of the new moon and the new moon feast, and then the most important of all to the Jews, the Sabbath. So they were observing. The new moon was observed as a celebration of the beginning of a month. Pag nagsimula yung buwan, ay kinikilala nila ang sustento ng Diyos, nakatapos sila ng isang buwan, at ngayon magsisimula sila ng isang buwan. Parang pag tayo rito ay pinapanalangin natin ang pagbubuo ng April month calendar, at kinikilala natin yung pagtutustos ng Panginoon ng buwan ng Marso. Eh parang ganito, meron silang seremonya ng mga paghahain, sari-saring handog ang kanilang iniaalay kapag magbabago na yung buwan. That's the New Moon Festival. And it's a good thing to honor God for the change of months, and this is what they did. They celebrated the new moon, and of course the Sabbath to the Jews was the most distinguishing mark of being the covenant people. In their calendar routine, every week, they distinguished themselves as God's people through the Sabbath. Kaya narito yung mga tao na buwan-buwan, naroon yung kanilang ritual ng new moon, at linggo-linggo, meron silang ritual ng Sabbath. But both observances should be one of gratitude, one of recognition of God's ownership, of God's sustenance. But instead, we are told that they could not wait for those days to be over so that they can pursue their business and keep maltreating people. Ito mga taong to, pagamat inoobserbahan nila yung New Moon Festival, buwan-buwan, at inoobserbahan nila yung Sabbath, linggo-linggo, ang sinasabi roon ay hindi sila makapaghintay na matapos. Maring dumadalo sila doon sa lahat ng ritual ng pag-aalay ng mga handog, hindi sila pumapalya sa lahat ng mga handog at mga susunugin, pero sa loob-loob nila, ang tagal naman. Gusto ko nang bumalik sa aking negosyo. At maaaring nakikinikinita pa nila yung gusto kong mga taong pahirapan, gusto kong balikan. Wala yung loob nila sa kanilang ginagawang ritual. Ang kanilang puso ay puspos ng kanilang mga inaangking negosyo upang doon magpatuloy. And so even as they observed the rituals, their hearts were not in it. And what do we learn from this? What we learn is that playing religion is when you're just going through the rituals without their meaning inwardly. Kapag ikaw ay basta ginaganap mo lang yung mga ritual, yung mga gawaing panlabas, ngunit wala yung kahulugan sa yung kalooban, yan po ang tinatawag na naglalaro ng relihiyon. Playing religion. Now, the Christian religion has its share of rituals. And by rituals, I mean habits of activities with a religious purpose, religious meaning. The most obvious, of course, would be our regular church assemblies. This, in a sense, is our regular activity, regular habit, which is good to observe. Remember the exhortation of the writer of Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling. Huwag nating pabayaan ang mga pagtitipon. Kaya ang mga Kristiyano, meron din tayong matatawag na ritual, mga gawaing tuloy-tuloy nating ginagawa bilang mga may kahulugan sa ating pananampalataya. Amos' generation would not be charged of being guilty of forsaking their assemblies. Those special days were marked red in their appointment diaries, and they would not allow them to be displaced. They were good as far as attendance to the assemblies was concerned. And perhaps in our case, there are things we would not miss in the religious activities. But you see, in the same way na may mga bagay tayong ginagawa na ayaw talaga natin, wala sa loob natin, pero kailangan lamang gawin and we just go through it, eh ito ang naging saloobin ng mga tao noong panahon ni Amos, at maaaring ganito ang nagiging saloobin natin. Ang nangyayari ay physically present. You have to be ready somehow. You have to prepare externally. And you have to be there. But you don't enjoy it. You don't like it. You just have to do it. And we may have that kind of attitude. Parang katulad ng you have to renew your driver's license. You don't like to do it, but you have to. So you have to be physically present to get your photograph and your other tests. And you have to be there. But as much as possible, you want it done and over with as quickly as possible. And that may be our attitude to the rituals of our Christian faith. We have to be externally present. We have to be physically there. We have to go through the motions and the activities of the assemblies. But in our hearts, it is possible that we just want it done and over with, and we're just going through it. This is what happened to the generation of Amos. They were just going through it all. The new moon, it's another end of the month, another change of the month. Well, we just have to go and observe the new moon festival. And every week, well, there's the Sabbath. We just have to go through it. That's the description of the Israelites in this observance of the rituals. They were physically present. The necessary externals were ready. There were animals to be prepared. There were offerings to be given. And so all those were ready, and they were physically offered, but they were just going through the process, and they cannot wait for it to be done and get over with. What made it even worse for the Israelites was that they can't wait to resume their business. Yun ang iniisip nila. Yung kanilang kikitain pa. In other words, they were using the rituals like a soothing ointment to quiet their conscience about injustice. Parang mga maraming politiko sa atin, mga corrupt, maraming katiwalian, pero para palubag ng kanilang konsensya, malaki mag-offering sa simbahan. At kapag may proyektong pang-relihiyon, ay nandyan sila. Hindi sila mawawala. Pero para sa kanila, yun ay pampalubag lang ng kanilang konsensya. At maaaring mangyari yan sa atin. Maaaring mangyari na meron tayong bagay na ginagawa na mali. Ngunit sa pamamagitan ng pagdalo natin ng mga ritual ng ating pananampalataya, ay ginagamit nating pampalubag upang huwag harapin ang dapat ay hinaharap natin. And what happens is we're just going through it externally without its meaning in the heart. And Amos reminds them of a very simple truth that you and I need reminding of. It did not escape God. You can get away with it with your fellow worshipers. They could get away with it with their high priest. You could get away with it with your pastor. But you cannot get away with it with God. That's Amos' reminder. After the offerings had been done, they may think that they could go home satisfied having done their rituals, but God knew they played. And we need to ask, what about our services today on this Lord's Day? Or the past Lord's Day services? You see, the challenge is our worship of God must bear fruit in sensitivity to the weak among our fellow men. Diyan pinagdugtong ni Amos. Ang ebidensya na wala sa loob ninyo ang pagsamba sa Diyos ay sapagkat kung kasalimuha na ninyo ang mga mahihirap, kung kasilimuha na ninyo ang mga mahihina, ay sinabi niya, inyo silang pinapahirapan. Inyo silang inaapi. Wala kayong habag sa mga kawawa sa inyong paligid. Kaya nandun kayo sa templo, nag-aawitan at naghahandog, subalit pag kayo'y nasa inyo ng lipunan, wala kayong pakialam sa mga nahihirapan. At yan ang ebidensya na ang inyong relihiyon ay isang laro. Ganyan ang saway ni Amos. And the challenge is, if we are truly worshiping God, don't imagine that you have done it in the church. Now you could go outside the church and just live the way you live and the way you treat people with no regard for them and think that God, having been worshipped in the church, is satisfied. It doesn't work that way. It is possible never to miss the assembly for worship and yet keep missing our duty to our fellow men. Adolf Hitler has expressed thanks to God and His providence in his own diaries. And yet this is one of the most wicked men in history who had no compunction burning Jews in their millions. At isang bagay ito na ipanuri natin sa ating sarili. Amos rebuked them. He said, "You who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end." Now obviously, this trampling of the needy did not happen in the temple. It did not happen in their place of worship. It happened outside the place of worship. And their basic mistake was to think that what happened outside the temple is no longer God's concern. Ibinigay ko na sa kanya yung para sa kanya sa templo. Hindi ako pumalya sa aking attendance. Hindi ako pumalya sa aking offering. Hindi ako pumalya sa mga handog na susunugin. Ibinigay kong lahat kay Yahweh. Ngayong nasa labas na ako ng templo, eh wala na siyang pakialam doon. At kung ganyan ang kanilang pag-iisip, napakalaking pagkakamali. And we may not verbalize the same words, but we definitely can commit the same mentality to think that having been in church and having given to God the worship that is His due, now that we're outside church, now that we go to our place of work, that we can do what we want to do, and that is no longer God's business. But God is not impressed with all their rituals inside the temple, while their lifestyle outside of it was one of injustice and without compassion. The inconsistency is very obvious. You see, you cannot worship God genuinely and then maltreat people. Hindi ka maaring sumambang totoo sa Diyos at pagkatapos ay magmaltrato ng mga tao, ng mga mahihina. Kung nagmamaltrato ka ng mga mahihina at walang anumang kahabagan sa kanila, ang masasabi lamang natin sa pagsambang ginagawa ay hindi totoo. Jesus, in fact, used stronger words. Listen to him in Matthew 23:14. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. You will receive greater condemnation." So this kind of condemnation is even stronger than that of Amos. And this is coming from Jesus. Ang punto, hindi natin maaring pagwalang bahala. We cannot tolerate the idea of a man worshiping God and yet outside of the realm of worship, he can maltreat people. Observing good rituals will not cover up social iniquity. That's Amos's point. What is the spirit of worship? When we truly worship God, what is the spirit in it? Hindi ba humility ang isang sumasamba ng may kababaang loob? How can a man in church worship with humility and then outside of it becomes oppressive, bossy, and without compunction just hurt people? Worship is giving glory to God. And if you are worshiping to the glory of God outside of it, it will make you mindful of His glory. Kung sinasamba mo ang kalulatian ng Diyos, sa labas ng pagsamba, ay magiging maalalahanin ka sa kalulatian ng Diyos. Ang ibig sabihin, simply ay magiging maalalahanin ka sa iyong patotoo, anong sinasabi ng mga tao tungkol sa iyo na magiging salamin sa iyong Diyos. Hindi ito pwedeng mapabayaan dahil ikaw ay sumamba. So take seriously the ritual. Take seriously the assemblies of the church. But the challenge is, don't just go through them. Don't be satisfied with going through the rituals. Let your soul be engulfed with the real meaning that these assemblies are for. When we sang a while ago, praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore Him. How did we sing it? Did we mean it? Did we even understand it? Were we wanting to praise God so that everything of our humanity is offered to His glory? Or were we just mumbling the words, going through them? And if we are just mumbling the words without any meaning, that's playing religion. Oh, beware of that attitude. And beware of the attitude that secretly celebrates because you have gone through a ritual. And after it's done, you're so glad it's done. You're over with it. And now you can go back to where you really are genuinely happy to be. Ingatan natin ang ganong saloobin, mga kapatid. And tonight, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, here is one very meaningful activity that should impact on us, that should mean the greatest act of the grace of God, that should fill us with gratitude, that should provoke in us genuine communion with Him. And yet it is very possible that to men, to others, it may just become a ritual you go through. You take the bread, you sip on the wine, and then nothing of any recollection of the death of Christ. Beware that it doesn't happen, because that will then just be a ritual, and good rituals will not cover up social iniquity. And secondly, true doctrines will not cover up social dishonesty. Ang totoong doktrina ay hindi magtatakip sa panlipunan ng kasinungalingan. One thing about the book of Amos that contrasts with other books of the other prophets is that there is no warning about false prophets. God was in fact raising a good number of prophets in the days of Amos. And doubtless as prophets of God, they taught the truth. Nagturo sila ng katotohanan. But the lifestyle that Amos rebukes here in our text is about dishonesty in their business. Dishonesty in their work, represented by what in the Old Testament became the symbol of deceitfulness, false balances, mga bulaang timbangan. Well, alam natin ang ginagawa ng mga ito. Dinadaya yung kanilang timbangan para mas maikita sila. Ibig sabihin, galing sa templo, sumasambat, naghandog ng kanilang mga susunugin at nakinig ng mga katotohanang ipinapangaral ng mga propeta, ngunit pagkatapos nun, bumalik sila sa kanilang trabaho na nagsisinungaling, nandaraya. And what we learn here is that playing religion is when we like doctrines intellectually but without effect on our vocation. Yung naglalaro lang ng relihiyon ay maaring gustuhin niya ang doktrina, pero walang bisa sa kanyang panawagan sa lipunan, sa kanyang trabaho. And there is something, as I've said before, there is something intellectually satisfying about Christian doctrines. Kapag talagang pag-aralan mo siya, nakakagalak ng sarili. I find it sometimes riveting to study the Bible and relevant books, especially when I'm preparing for a teaching encounter. A particular issue of doctrine can catch my attention hours and hours, it rivets me. So satisfying. And I say we should not lose the joy and the thrill of understanding and thinking about Christian doctrines. But the real danger, brethren, is to think that you are maturing just because you are knowing more. In the case of the people of Israel in the time of Amos, the abundance of prophets did not lead them to any change of behavior in their vocation. They still cheated. They resorted to dishonest gains. And yet there is supposed to be a direct connection between hearing God's word and its truths and the vocation you perform where you are. What are doctrines in the first place? Doctrines are truths in which God displays His honesty to us. Yung mga doktrina, nagpapakita ng katapatan ng Diyos sa atin. Nakikinig ka na sa katapatan ng Diyos sa iyo kapag nakikinig ka ng pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Ito ang kanyang katapatan. Paano mangyayari ng isang nakinig sa katapatan ng Diyos ay walang epekto sa kanyang pagiging matapat sa kanyang kapwa? It will require our honesty to God and to people. When Apostle Paul was describing how he has been honest to the Corinthians, may mga nagbibintang sa kanya na siya hindi naging tapat sa kanyang salita sapagkat hindi siya natuloy ng pagdalaw sa kanila. And Paul was telling them, my yes was yes, my no was no. And then he explains how, because God is faithful. Yung katapatan ng kanyang pananalita ay sapagkat ang Diyos ay tapat. Kung ano ang Diyos, ganun tayo sa katapatan natin sa ating kapwa at sa ating kapatid. And that means our doctrines should deliver us from a lifestyle of dishonest gain at others' expense. Yan ang hamon dito sa atin. Anong paraan ang ginagamit mo para ikaw ay magkaroon ng kabuhayan? Kung gumagamit ka ng pandaraya at pagkatapos patuloy ka nakikinig ng mga pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos, ito ay paglalaro lamang ng reliyon. And this is again the mistake of the generation of Amos. They think that they have given quality offerings to God. Now, they can cheat on the quality of their work. They can cheat on the quality of their products. Sabi rito ni Amos, we may make the ephah small and the shekel great. Ang punto niya riyan ay mga measures, unit of measures ng Israelites. Yung ephah ay dapat malaking measure. Yung shekel ay mas maliit, binaligtad. And not only that, they sell the chaff of the wheat. Dinaya yung kanilang produkto. Sa halip na yung tunay ay yung mahinang klase, yung kalidad ng kanilang pinangkakabuhayan ay kinokompromiso nila para kumita. Samantalang galing sila sa templo, galing sila sa panambahan, nakinig sila ng mensahe ng mga propeta, nakinig sila ng mga katotohanan, matapos nilang mapakinggan ang katotohanan, pumunta sila sa kanilang trabaho at nandaya. At ang sinasabi ni Amos dito, hindi ito pinalalampas ng Diyos. Kinamumuhian ito ng Diyos. It is a deceit. And if you think the way you make transaction with government can tolerate corruption, after all, you're a good worshiper and you believe in doctrines, that doesn't pass as far as God is concerned. Our religion, which is about the Lord Jesus Christ, must invade our workplace. And there, in the way we work, is how we show justice to our fellow men. Kaya ipanghamon natin ito sa ating mga sarili. Ang hindi pinaghihiwalay dito ni Amos ay ang katotohanan ng pagsamba sa tunay na Diyos, pakikinig ng katotohanan, at katarungan sa kapwa-tao. At dahil sa paghihiwalay nito ng henerasyon ni Amos, patuloy silang sumasamba, patuloy na nakikinig sa mga propeta, subalit nagiging mapang-api at mapandaya sa kanilang lipunan dahil dito ang sabi ng Diyos, hindi ko na sila palalampasin. Huwag natin isipin mga kapatid na ito'y magaang na bagay. If our religion is genuine, it will affect the way we deal with people. If our doctrines are true, it will affect the way we honestly do our work so that we do honestly deal with people. Ipanuri natin ito sa ating mga sarili. Paano tayo nakikipag-ugnayan sa ating mga kapwa? Mula sa ating pagsamba dito, mula Lunes hanggang Sabado, marahil ang mga kasama mo, mga hindi mananampalataya, ano ang epekto ng pagdalo mo ng simbahan, ng iyong ritual? Anong epekto sa iyo ng pagkikinig mo ng salita ng Diyos pagdating sa iyong mga relasyon sa mundo? Ito ang hamon na kinakailangan nating tugunin. Isang Kristiyano na naging matagumpay sa kanyang larangan ay si James Simpson. Parang kilala niyo ang kanyang pangalan sa larangan ng siyensya. Siya ang nakatuklas ng anesthetic effect ng chloroform. At mula sa kanya ay nag-develop ang anesthesia. Nung panahon na yun, tinutuligsa siya ng marami sapagkat ang sabi nila, kalooban ng Diyos yung maramdaman yung sakit. At siya ay gumagamit ng anesthesia. Sinasabi nila na lumalaban ka sa kalooban ng Diyos, ngunit nagpatuloy lang si James Simpson sa kanyang ginagawa sapagkat gawain niya ito at gusto niyang hanggat maari ay mapagaang ang hirap, lalo na ng mga nanganganak. At marami siyang nailigtas na buhay noong panahon na yun, pag nanganganak, 50-50 lagi yung nanay. Pero dahil sa natuklasan ni James Simpson, ay nakapagkaawang-gawa siya, maraming nabuhay. Survivability in childbirth increased very radically because of his discovery. And also because of that, when people began to recognize that, he became successful financially. But he never kept his finances for himself. He always was willing and was generous to share. And not only that, in the field of scientists, he was not ashamed to own his faith. He would address scientific conferences with a testimony for his faith. There we see a man whose skill, whose money he made available because he was a worshiper. And that's the challenge to us. What is our religion to us when it comes to our social justice, our social compassion? Or to put it in another way, after this Sunday, what will your Monday forwards be like? Let's not play religion because God can see through it. Instead, let our religion be partnered with true social justice, and let our religion be that which truly comes to the very presence of God, not just going through the rituals, not just listening externally to the doctrines, but let our religion be that which draws us closer to our God. And that's our last hymn, which is a prayer for a closer walk with God. Oh, for a closer walk with God. Let's close in prayer. Sana nga Panginoon ay tumimo sa aming mga puso ang katotohanan na pinakadidiinan dito, na kung saan mayroong totoong pananampalataya at paglapit sa iyo ay may bisa at may aplikasyon sa aming panlipunan ng mga relasyon. Kaya panalangin namin, Panginoon, na ikaw ang siyang magbigay bisa nito sa amin. Tulungan mo kami na masaway sa anumang paraan na nilalaro namin ang aming relihiyon. Because as it happened in the days and generation of Amos, it keeps happening. People who may not fail in their religious activities, who may continue even perhaps on the very day of judgment, be found in the temple. Yet, in their relations, in their society, they are found to be woefully inadequate. May this be a warning to us that we cannot play religion and escape the judgment on social injustice. Indeed, we cannot just go through rituals and think that it does cover up for social iniquity, for it does not. And we may get away with it in our assemblies, but we don't get away with it in your presence. And we pray, therefore, that we would learn to go through our assemblies, not in a manner that is just being physically present, not just being externally ready, but let the meaning of it engulf our very souls. Even on this day that we have engaged in worship activities, may we search our hearts if they have become just to us going through these activities. Instead, help us to make sure that these things we have done have had an impact upon our souls today. And we also must learn that true doctrines, no matter how intellectually satisfying we find them, will not cover up social dishonesty. For true doctrines are your expressions of honesty to us. And therefore, when we hear of them and learn them, they require that we be honest. And that honesty is to be seen in our vocation, in the way we deal with people, in the way we conduct our work. We cannot be dishonest. We cannot allow dishonest gain at the expense of others. But instead, where we learn true doctrines, we will be honest in our vocation. We will be honest in our livelihood. We will even see to the quality of our output, because we come from the faithful God. So we ask, Lord, that you would use this word to examine us, even as we prepare for the Lord's Supper tonight. And may we observe the Lord's Supper not as a ritual to go through it and waiting for it to be done and over with, but instead, let the essence of its meaning engulf our souls tonight. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.